Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you've watched a movie before. I think of one of the great classics now, Back to the Future, with Doc Brown, Marty McFly. And in movies like this, where there just seems to be like such a big answer to fix, how do you get Marty McFly back to the future, and how do you get someone to understand what's going on? There's a few times where you'll hear Doc Brown say, "Do you realize what this means?" Where Marty shows him the picture of his family and the kids, the siblings are disappearing. And then they're trying to get him back into the future, and Marty has the time of when the clock tower is going to get struck. And we know Doc Brown says, "Great Scott," more often when he's surprised. But he also, "Do you realize what this means?" That it kind of changes everything. That there's this huge problem that you have to solve. You have to figure out, how is this thing going to get fixed? And then you see it, you hear it, you see what's going to fix it. And you say, "Do you realize what this means?" Today, as we come together on Easter, that's the question I want you to consider. Why are we here on Easter? Why is this such an important day, not just for the church, but for all of humanity? Do you realize what this means? What I'd say is that Easter changes everything eternally. That's what it really means. Easter has lasting consequences in this life, but also in the next. To understand what it has, the consequences and the changes, we have to take a little bit of look at what this life is and what's in store. As we see in our text, Paul's writing in this great resurrection chapter, and he talks first about a mystery. We will not all sleep. Well, what is he talking about but death? That there is death that we're all going to face. And a few verses later, he's going to explain why there is death in this world and what sin is all about. He says in verse 56, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." Have you seen really what happens in this world? That sin brought death into this life. That God created everything perfect, and it really wasn't supposed to be that way. So what does that mean for you in this life? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. My question is, when you go about your day, do you consider all the ramifications of sin and death? That sin brought death into this life. What does it mean that there is death in this life? What does it mean that there's sin in this life? What does sin do? And a big problem, I think there's lots of people who go about their life not considering death. That, well, I'll just go on living, I'll go on and, you know, when I get to a certain age, then I'll start thinking about this. But I can live my life however I want. I don't have to consider God. Don't have to consider spiritual things, because that's such a far-off thing, because death seems such a foreign thing and something I don't have to worry about. Until you do. Until it stings someone you love way before they were supposed to be leaving this earth. And why is that here? But the pain of sin is here as well. That brings about death. Sin is in everything. And our world doesn't want to talk about sin. The biggest thing I think our world doesn't want to talk about, though, is that sin is in you, in each and every one of us. I like to say it this way, that the world likes to talk about things that the problem is out there, right? Well, that person needs to change. You know what? If that party, if those people, if the people in your relationships, if they would just change, then everything would just be fine. I don't need to change. I'm not the problem. But death tells us that sin is in each and every one of us because we think we're in control. We think we have it all under control. We think we know what is right and good, but death tells us we don't have control. And that sin is in each and every one of us. It destroys us. It destroys relationships. It separates you from God, and it separates you from one another. It makes you prideful. And here it talks about the power of sin is the law. Think about your relationships with your kids. When you tell them what to do, don't do this, do that. Do they go, okay? And then follow that law. Or is it when we hear the law, then our sinful nature just bubbles up all the more? This is the problem with each and every one of us, that sinful nature, our hearts are idol factories. So we develop that, we desire what is best for us, but we don't know, and so we need something. Something that will change everything. And this is what this whole chapter, this whole section about, is that something that happened that changed everything. Changes not just your eternity, but your now. That Jesus really came, that Jesus really lived and he died. And what does that mean? But look what we see. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Though sin and death are here, Jesus buries sin and death. Jesus is no longer in the tomb, but what is sin and death? Jesus came here to live perfectly for you, to be a servant of all, to go to the cross, and for people, his closest disciples, as we heard in the gospel lesson, to continually be confused and to not understand him because they were always thinking about themselves as well. Can I have a place of authority? But instead, he came to suffer and to die for each and every one of us, to bury sin and death, because he died and rose again. These words here, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These words are very similar to another writing of Paul, Romans 7. Romans 7 is one of my favorite sections of Scripture because often people will talk about, a Christian, what a Christian life should look like. And Paul in Romans 7 describes that he, as a believer, understands that he has this horrible struggle inside of himself. That because of baptism, because of faith, because of God's working in him, he has a new self. But that old self is still in there. And he says, I don't do the things I want to do. No, the things I do not want to do, I keep on doing those things. And he says, who will rescue me from this body of wrath? And his answer is, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. we have the Savior that though in this life we continue to struggle with sin, we have a Savior that overcomes the greatest of your sin. Is there anyone who's not worthy to be in these seats today to hear of this love and forgiveness, that Jesus died for you and rose again? This is for you. This is the truth. We can struggle with it, but our feelings don't equal facts, do they? What are the facts? That Jesus died and he has risen again. Our feelings, we can feel this way and we can feel that way, but we need to be reminded that Jesus really died. He's really the Savior. And what that means for you, it's true. And so cling to this. That each and every one of you, because of what Jesus has done and that faith, that baptism that connects you to him, you've died with him and you rise again to live a new life, that you can glorify him and give thanks knowing you're forgiven. But yet we still have some pain and suffering in this world, don't we? You've suffered loss. If you understand that there is the sin, well, what do we do with this life now? How do I deal with death? We understand that you can work and you can strive for so much. What are the things that you can put your identity in? But you can put your identity in being the best parent and put your identity about your kids, that it's all about them. Yes, be a good parent. But is that your only identity? Or you can put your identity into your work or your spouse or all these other things, your money, your reputation. And as we do this, we can work for so many things that in the end are temporary. But what is actually eternal? Paul writes in the last verses, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." People work for so much in this life, but often they still find themselves unfulfilled. They reach this accomplishment and, okay, now what? What's next? But faith in a risen Jesus gives eternal purpose. Because as we know, he has given us that forgiveness. In the rest of the world, you will strive and work. You'll hear about the law, but here in the Bible, here in worship, you hear that you're loved and forgiven, and that everything we do in the name of Jesus, if that's loving my family, if that's serving at work faithfully, and especially sharing about Jesus, has an eternal purpose. Not just for this life, but for life eternal. Death is something we know that we will all face, but I want you to remember two things especially. Your resurrection is as certain as your death. And if you're fearful, if you're worried about death, if you have friends that are uncertain of what's ahead, tell them about Jesus. If you're struggling, remind yourself about Jesus, because our resurrection is certain. That's what it means to have an eternal purpose that our faith in Jesus gives us. And for you as a Christian, death is not the destiny, but eternal life. And so all our striving, when we are in the Lord, when you have faith in Jesus, we have hope and peace. There still is the sting of sin, the hurts and the pains that other people cause you, the pains that this world causes us, and that sting of death. But the reality is, what is death and facing death like without Jesus? Without the hope of this eternal life, of a certainty of the resurrection. When we go to a funeral, we have joy and hope and peace, because it's like someone who's out and there's a bee out in the yard. If you're immune, are you afraid of that bee? It might frighten you, might not want the sting. It's not going to kill you. Without faith, that stinger is deadly. But there's hell. But with faith, because of the work of Jesus, that sting has been removed. That pain, that poison is gone. So yes, in this life, there still is sadness and struggles, but Jesus gives it all a purpose. He gives us all hope, because it's not just for this life, but for eternity. And when we look at the difference between our short lives and life with Jesus forever, it changes everything. You have an identity, an eternal identity in Jesus, that you are not defined by your sin, you're not defined by your mistakes, you're defined by Jesus and that empty tomb. Do you realize what this means? Do you realize what Easter is all about? Easter has changed your life eternally. And so we go with life, not living out anything in vain, but standing firm, believing the truth that Jesus really died and rose again to give you life eternal. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.